Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The state reported 4 new COVID-19 cases yesterday, 2 in Anchorage and 1 each in Eagle River and Wasilla. The new case numbers continue a slow infection rate trend, but State Chief Medical Officer Dr. Ann Zink cautions that any uptick resulting from the recent relaxation of restrictions on businesses and other activities will take time to manifest.
It takes somewhere between 5, 10 days, up to 2 weeks before we would expect to see changes after any given change in the way we behave to be reflected in the cases.
Alaska is on the downside of the infection curve, but Dr. Zink noted that the tail can extend a long time.
And so that's why it's so important that we're just testing and tracking and isolating it as quickly as possible, because we expect to see cases just kind of pop up here and there.
Zink underscored that community transmission is still happening in Alaska.
And from an infectious disease standpoint, you would really have to go 28 days without seeing a case in a community with really adequate testing to say that we don't have any community spread.
Dr. Zink says the spread appears to be minimal, but it's still important to keep your guard up by wearing a mask and maintaining social distance when in public and limiting the number of people outside your household you have contact with. A federal judge temporarily blocked the federal government from paying CARES Act funding to Alaska Native corporations. Alaska Public Media reports that U.S. District Court Judge Amit Mehta issued an order yesterday finding that the tribes that sued to block the money from being paid to regional or village corporations were likely to win. The lawsuit was filed by tribes in the lower 48 and Alaska. They argued that the corporations don't meet the federal definitions of Indian tribe or tribal government. Both of Alaska's U.S. senators say they're disappointed. Senator Lisa Murkowski says the state's delegation worked to ensure the federal law used a definition of tribes that included the corporations.
This is not an issue of governance. This is an issue of making sure that those costs that have been incurred on the benefit and for the behalf of Alaska Natives to cover those related costs to the coronavirus can be reimbursed.
Senator Dan Sullivan adds that the corporations have missions mandated by the federal government beyond those of other corporations.
This definition was mandated by Congress, and I hope the district court gives as much attention to the ANCs as it does to some of the lower 48 tribes who brought this lawsuits that have billion-dollar casino operations that nobody seems to be paying much attention to.
The judge only granted part of what the tribes were looking for. He did not order the government to pay out all of the money that's being disputed to the tribes. Not all stores in Alaska are set up to take federal assistance program payments for online grocery orders. Alaska Public Media reports that one large chain has started allowing curbside pickup for individuals paying with benefits from the federal assistance program known as SNAP. Fred Meyer recently added that as a payment option on its website, customers can swipe their electronic benefits card when they pick up groceries curbside. Alaska Director of Public Assistance Shonda O'Brien says the state doesn't have oversight on the issue, but she welcomes the change.
From my perspective, I'm excited about that. It's kind of forcing us to utilize technology in a better way and give people more options. And so oftentimes we are faced with a lot of roadblocks at different regulatory levels. And so I think this is giving us an inside perspective of what might be coming in the future.
However, purchasing groceries with assistance from the Women, Infants, and Children, or WIC program, still is not an option for online ordering or curbside pickup. And even for customers who shop in person, O'Brien says she's heard reports across the state of WIC-eligible items such as milk and baby formula disappearing off shelves. She says that's especially troubling for communities off the road system. O'Brien says she thinks those items will be restocked, but that in the meantime, the state is working with federal agencies to eventually allow substitutions. BP says the sale of its Alaska business to Hilcorp is still on, but under new financial terms. Alaska Public Media reports that the company confirmed its commitment to the multi-billion dollar deal in a statement late Sunday, saying it expects to complete the sale in June. The statement follows reports that the sale was in jeopardy due to slumping oil prices. BP says the sale price remains $5.6 billion, but Hilcorp will have longer to pay. Longtime Alaska oil industry observer Larry Persley says the late-night statement from BP did not surprise him.
To me, that says that BP and Hilcorp wanted to reassure the market, investors, shareholders that, hey, no matter what you've heard, no matter what you speculated on, this deal is moving ahead.
The deal includes BP stakes in the Prudhoe Bay oil field and Trans-Alaska Pipeline and will make Hilcorp Alaska's second largest oil producer. BP says its June timeline is subject to regulatory approvals. State regulators continue to review a key piece of the deal involving pipeline assets. In a statement, BP Alaska President Janet Weiss says the company could complete part of the deal this summer and the pipeline portion later on. Representatives from BP and Hilcorp declined interview requests for the story. The Nenana Ice Classic tripod moved and tripped the clock in the annual Tananaw River Ice Out Guessing Game at 12:56 p.m. Alaska Standard Time yesterday. Ice Classic manager Sherry Fornes says she and her staff have a lot of work to do to determine this year's jackpot winner or winners. Fornes says coronavirus pandemic forced store closures reduced the number of tickets sold this year, but social distancing requirements mean about half of the normal crew of 100 workers will be processing tickets.
We're running a skeleton crew, so we're only going to have about half of the people, if that, in the Civic Center working. But we are able to keep people at a minimum of 6 feet apart by doing it this way.
Although the overall number of tickets is down this year, organizers allowed mail-in guesses due to pandemic restrictions that closed down many of the stores where tickets are normally sold. And Fornes says dealing with the mail-in guesses is time-consuming.
We got lots and lots of guesses through the mail. So we're still processing those guesses, you know, just getting them on tickets and stuff. I'm figuring that it's going to take us not as much time as it normally does, but I know it's going to take us probably at least 4 weeks.
Fornes says the work of logging in tickets will likely begin Thursday using a proven system that relies heavily on manual labor.
It goes through like 4 or 5 different processes to get everything sorted, and then the tickets all put in numerical order, and then goes to the people that are doing the data entry, and then from there it goes to the people that check all the guesses. It's quite a process that we go through, and I know a lot of people don't understand that. So, I mean, that's why it takes us so long. If we were digital, it wouldn't take long at all, but it would put a lot of people out of work.
Fornes emphasizes that the Ice Classic is a community operation, which also donates money to numerous area charities. I'm Dan Bross.